Again, I want to remind you that as long as preacher's able and all of this, we want to keep him before our church. There's no doubt about that. And I tell you, there's a generation, I don't know any of them personally, so to speak, but there's a generation, my generation below, that some of them want to say goodbye to our heritage and to what we call with utmost deep respect, the old timers. And I'm glad that we have one with us. And I'm asking him to preach at least once a month around here, as long as he's able to do that. God laid that on my heart. I'm glad he did, you know. And tonight is one of those nights. And, preacher, we are honored, absolutely honored to have you come back here and preach. I want to go ahead and do this. He celebrates a birthday tomorrow, right, preacher? Birthday's tomorrow.
The Lord lets me live.
If the Lord lets him live, I think he's turning. Well, he can let you know that, but there's a special gift here that we were going to give towards something that your daughter was working on, but it didn't work out. So what I want to do is take that money that we were going to give to help with that and put it in your hands. So this is a check in honor of your birthday, and you do whatever you want to with it, but I'd like for you to use it on you and your wife, you know, to help her out.
She'll
or whatever the case
ways.
May be. She'll find ways to use it, so that'll be good. That's for you right there. God bless you, sir.
Okay, yes. Ushers, you want to come, and if you didn't get an outline tonight, get one, because it'd be helpful as I preach, because I'm teaching here on Wednesday nights. Now, he's asked me to preach on the fifth Sundays. There's four of them in a month, in a year. And raise your hand if you did not get one of these outlines, because I'll try to follow that outline tonight. And I appreciate Brother Jody asking me to preach. And I'll be 86. My wife don't want me to tell. She's listening. She don't want me to tell my age. But I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord's been good to me. Be 86 tomorrow and still fighting the devil with a stick. I want you to know that. And backslidden Baptist too. But to know the Lord's been good. And I surrendered to preach in 53, after we played in the Sun Bowl in 53 and during spring practice at Southern Miss in 53, sometimes March, February, March, somewhere along. And I've been preaching now for 65 years. I didn't know it'd be that long, but the Lord's given me good health, and so I'm just going to keep on preaching. As long as I got strength in my body, he didn't call me to preach this certain amount of time, but I'm just, as long as I've got life and I can crawl to this pulpit, Brother Jody, I'll be willing to preach. Thank you for, I don't know what it is, but thank you for the offering there. Now let's pray, and then I'll read scripture. We'll turn to scriptures all during this lesson tonight on, and by the way, I've got these books. If you want to be a amateur Bible scholar, you need to get Rightly Dividing the Word of God by Clarence Larkin. And you can get these. That's my book is white, but this one out here, I think they cost $12. And listen, it'd be the best $12 you ever. And if you read this and study it, and if you love God, you can have a great knowledge of the Word of God. And then, if you're interested in, there's some prophecy in this, but this Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin, if you want to have a working knowledge of prophecy, you need to get one of these books. I'm glad I got these two books as a young preacher, and it's been a blessing down through the years. Did we pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for this privilege of standing one more time this side of eternity to handle the Word of Life. Lord, I thank you for all these years, 65 years, Lord, you've allowed me to preach. And help me, Lord. I want to be faithful to the God of the Word and the Word of God till the Lord calls me home. Bless tonight, Lord. And these are three great resurrections. And Lord, help us to learn from these resurrections tonight what God has for us. Bless me and bless these dear people. Thank you for Brother Jody. Keep your hand upon him. And Lord, bless them up in Bristol tonight. Thank you for the move of God that's going on up there. Lord, may it spread all over this area and all over this country. And may there be a great turning back to God before judgment falls. Now help me tonight. Bless these dear people in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can get, they've got these books back here. I think they're $12. Miss Phyllis and back in the office can, if you want the big dispensational prophecy book, that's about $30 or $40, $50, I think. The Bible speaks of three resurrections. Now that first one there in your outline is a national, and this refers to Israel, who is now dead nationally dead and buried in the graveyard of the nations. But it will be revived and restored to the nation of Israel, to their own land. God's got that right out, and I believe he's started. I'll say more about that in a minute. But just let me just mention these three. Then there's the spiritual resurrection. This refers to those who are spiritually dead. Every time a soul is saved, there is a spiritual if the Holy Spirit's in it, there's spiritual resurrection. It's not a decision, not a profession, not mutual mental asset to the Word of God, but it's a resurrection. They're dead in trespass. We'll say that in a minute. And raised to walk in newness of life. That's the baptism, a picture of that. Then there's the third resurrection is a material or physical resurrection. And this is a resurrection of the dead body. All who goes into the grave, all that goes into the grave is a body. It used to bother me. What about people in the graveyard? Would there be spirits? No, the only bodies go to the grave. And the soul and spirit, when you die, if you're saved, you go to be with the Lord. If you're unsaved, you go to the regions of the damned. But like the story of Rich Man and Lazarus, that teaches that well. So first of all, the nation Israel. And this is in this book. It's about 12th to 13th chapter. But I wanted to get to it tonight because of what is happening over in the Middle East and how that President, I'll say more about it. The President has moved the Embassy of America to Jerusalem and it's causing all kind of problems. But I thank God. I thank God our President did that. But turn in your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Ezekiel 37 and page 881 in your old Scofield reference Bible, King James Version. A gentleman asked me tonight, did I use a King James Version? I was almost offended by that, buddy. I mean, my middle name is Gene King James Lashley. But page 881 in your old, by the way, old Scofield too, King James Version. Look at the chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Must have been a Baptist church, you know. But he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, God says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, the story of these dry bones, getting up and walking around, has always fascinated me, especially as a little boy in Sunday school. I could just see all those bones getting up and walking around, and I didn't understand then what they were. And it's fascinated me. And then the Negro spiritual, these bones, these dry bones, you know, added to my fascination. Just picture the toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the leg bone connected to the hip bone connected to the back bone. I'm on going on up. Now the backbone connected to the neck bone. That's what that the spirit, Negro spiritual says. And then the neck bone connected to the head bone, these bones, these bones, these dry bones. And but this is a prophecy of the restoration of the nation Israel. God scattered them when they crucified Jesus, turned them aside, crucified him, God's son, and God spread the nation Israel around the world in the graveyard, buried them in the graveyard of the nations. And that this prophecy was given 2,500 years ago and has not been fulfilled yet. God said these dry bones, talking about his people scattered around the world, will be restored and live someday. And I believe, though, that we have seen in the last few years a partial fulfillment of that. Israel became a sovereign nation in 1948. You know, Truman got with the United Nations and made that a homeland for the Jews. And I believe we're seeing the bones come to life right before us, our eyes, over in Israel today. Now, I don't believe it'll be completely fulfilled until the church is taken out. And I believe, as I said, the decision of President Trump to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is also part of this fulfillment. And it won't happen, though, until the church is taken out before the tribulation. Now, the question right here is, why do you think, preacher, that the church will be caught out before the tribulation? Now, some people believe he's coming back in the middle of the tribulation and at the end of the tribulation. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And, preacher, why do you believe? Let me give you, I don't have time to go in detail, but first of all, I believe the church is going to go out before the tribulation because the church has not been appointed to wrath, but to salvation. And the wrath of God is poured out on the earth dwellers during the tribulation. And then you mix law and grace when you get the church in the tribulation. And then also the outline of the book of Revelation. We have in the second and third chapter the seven churches. And then when you come to the fourth chapter, where is the action? It's in heaven, isn't it? And I believe after the church age, that those seven churches represent the seven ages of the church, they'll be raptured out. Now, God will protect Israel in the tribulation. And Enoch is a type of, he was caught out before the flood, but he's a type of the church who will be caught out before the tribulation. And Noah was preserved through the flood on the ark, and he's a type of the Jew preserved by God in the tribulation. God will supernaturally take care of the Israelites in the tribulation, and he'll restore Israel to the land of the Palestine at the beginning of the millennium. And Israel will be the greatest nation the world has ever known in the millennium. And look at verse 11 and 14 in Ezekiel 37. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Now this is God talking. He says, I'm going to do this now. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. That is, all the nations where they are, they'll be caught up out of there, out of their graves. He buried them in these nations, placed them in the nation, and will bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I'll place you in your own land. God's got a great plan for the nation of Israel. He's not through with Israel. It's going to make her the greatest nation the world's ever seen during the millennium. Know ye that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So God will supernaturally restore Israel to the land of Palestine at the beginning of the millennium. And then Israel will be the greatest nation the world has ever seen on the face of. Turn over to Romans, the 11th chapter. Now, I haven't turned a lot of verses tonight. Turn to Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 1 and 2. Page 1204 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Romans 11, 1, 2. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying. And then look down at verse 25, where the Apostle Paul said, for I would not be, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the last person is saved, God will rapture his Gentile bride out of here, and then he'll start dealing with a Jew in the tribulation there. And then when God will, and we know in Matthew that God, at the end of the tribulation, God, Matthew 24, 30 and 31, turn to that, but God is going to send his angels around the world and bring the Israelites into the nation, the land of Israel promised to Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob, and there will be the greatest revival when angels bring them in, all the way into Israel. That's exciting, and it'll be one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen. Then let's look at the second resurrection. Turn to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians 2, page 1251 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. This is what we are reading here in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7 is what real salvation is. Bill Clinton, I understand, asked one time, what is real salvation? And this is right here the answer to the question. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power thereof, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Before you were saved, you were dead in sins. And hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is what real salvation is. It's a resurrection. We're spiritually dead until Christ comes into our hearts and we have newness of life. That's accompanied by the new birth is. And folks, we need to emphasize the new birth. The old timers used to call it being born again. But the English wasn't too good, but their theology was right. You must be born again. Jesus said in John, the 3rd chapter, you must be born again. In verse 5, he said, you can't even enter the kingdom of God till you get born again. And then he said in verse 3, you can't ever see the kingdom of God until you get born again. And I believe that it's more than just a profession. It's more of the being born again is more than just a commitment, and more than a decision. It's a birth. It's a resurrection. And if you are born again, you've been resurrected spiritually to walk in newness of life. Now, and I've been going up a couple of times a week to the revival in Bristol. And listen, if you haven't been up there, you're missing a blessing. Listen, dads and moms, what I urge you to do, ever go up there every night with your children. Get your children under Holy Ghost revival. They've had 500 people saved in, what, 3 or 4 weeks going on. It'll probably go on next week. And, I have felt the Spirit of God every night I've gone up there. And one little song that they sing up there, "My name is in the book of life. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. I'm raised above the world of strife and read my title clear. I know I'm saved. I've got the words wrong. Truly know my name is written there." Let me ask you this. Is your name written there? If that's the new birth, that's what happens. Your name is written down in heaven. You become a new person in Christ Jesus when you get born again. Now, look at, there's another resurrection here. Turn over to Ephesians 5:14. Ephesians 5:14. I'm just now looking at the clock here. I better start watching that clock a little bit and let you out on time. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Now that's a picture of a church, the spiritual slumber, and that is where the church is today. Let me just get off just a little bit on that. Folks, we need revival in our country badly. And Brother Jody and I heard something up at the pastor's meeting. Yeah, let's see, that was yesterday, wasn't it? They said that we're the four, there's more in South Korea sending more missionaries to the world than America. You know, we're fourth place in sending missionaries. That's what he said, fourth place, wasn't it? And in the future, we're going to be 20th because we're dead in our churches with no mission emphasis, no evangelistic emphasis, and there's other nations that God's raising up for world evangelism. So we need revival. We're losing old-time religion. I'm glad you mentioned that, but we're losing old-time religion to deadness and worldliness and worldly living. And by the way, people talk about you ought to dress like a Christian. Listen, if you get your heart right, you'll dress like a Christian. Because the Holy Spirit, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you will dress right because you don't want to displease the Lord. I'm not going to duck behind a pulpit. You can throw the songbook at me if you want to there. But the world's going to hell, and the contemporary music and contemporary versions and society's falling apart. Listen, we're losing our children to drugs and immorality and homosexuality and ungodliness, and we're asleep. And fathers, I beg you, take your children up to that revival and get them under Holy Ghost preaching where God's moving. You need to do that. You need to do that. Look, spiritual slumber. We need revival all across America. And then turn to Romans 6:11. Back to Romans. There's another verse, 6:11. "Likewise reckon ye also," this is page 1198, Romans 6:11, right? "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul said that we're to reckon, that is to consider. We ought to consider ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. And we need to pray daily that the works of the flesh, and we need to die daily to the works of the flesh, and Let the new man be led by the Holy Spirit. I remember the other night here a while back. Now, I'm not putting myself up as an example. I'm just an old sinner saved by the grace of God. And I'm trying to live right, but I have to struggle through the old flesh just like you do. But I went, put my head down on the pillow. And the devil, before I went to sleep, put a bad thought in my mind. And this verse applies right here. And I said, Holy Spirit, help me to get that thought out of my mind. I don't want to think that way about while I'm going to sleep. And the Holy Spirit delivered me from that bad thought. And that's what we need to reckon ourselves dead. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. And we need to reckon ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto the righteousness of Christ. I don't know how much more time I've got. But then let's look at the third material, our physical resurrection. Turn over to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel, 12th chapter. Page 919 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Daniel 12, page 919. Daniel 12, 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. So there's two resurrections, the resurrection of shame and the resurrection of eternal life. Then move over to John, the 5th chapter. John, the 5th chapter. John 5, verse 28 and 29, page 1121 in your old Schofield Bible. John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It says the same thing as Daniel does, but it doesn't say that the resurrection, where it'll take place at the same time, or a difference in time. And turn over to Acts 24, verse 14, 15. We see this also saying the same thing there. Acts 24. Now, this is teaching tonight, so we're going to be turning to a lot of verses. Acts 20. 14 and 15, page 1183 in your Schofield Bible. 14, verse 14 and 15. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves will allow, that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now this establishes again the fact that the resurrection of the body, but again it doesn't say that where it'll take place at the same time or there'll be an interval between them. And now most people believe in one big resurrection. But and there's going to be one big resurrection and one big judgment. But the Bible does not teach that. Turn to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and the church has already been raptured now. And we've been caught out. And we're in the tribulation here now. And I saw thrones, and they just sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither his received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now that's at the beginning of the millennium. The church has already gone out at the rapture of the church 7 years before this. And then the rest, and they neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again till 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection, talking about those that come out in the rapture of the church and at the end of the tribulation, those are tribulation saints. So we have to go to, notice verse 5 and 6 now. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So Revelation 24 through 6 tells us there will be 1,000 years difference between the first and the second resurrection. The rapture of the saints now has already taken place, I said, at the beginning of the, when the Lord comes back, rapture the church out before the tribulation. And at the end of the tribulation, he'll rapture the tribulation saints out, resurrect them, and bring them into the millennium. And this is the first, or the blessed, resurrection of the just. Then verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead who live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And that's the great white throne. They'll be resurrected to stand before the great white throne, and their names will not be found written in the book of life, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's why in this crowd problem, everybody's saved now. But if you're not, you need to get saved. Be a good thing tonight to get saved before you leave this building. Come and we'll pray with you, and we'll stay with you all night if it takes to get you assurance of you're born again. But then I want you to turn to one other passage of Scripture, and I'm just about through here. Over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15 and verse 20. And we're going to, these verses teach God's program of our order of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, in his time, that is. Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ is coming. Both before the rapture and at the end of the rapture, there'll be a resurrection of the church people, church-aged saints, and then the at the end of the tribulation, the resurrection of those that died in Christ during the tribulation. But every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, after the day of Christ that is coming, then cometh the end. I'll stop right there. Some people say that could be the end ones. So that'll be the end of the God's resurrection program. Christ started, is the battalion leader of the, he's the first fruits of the resurrection. He started the resurrection program almost 2,000 years ago. Then the church age saints will be raptured before the tribulation, resurrected and raptured before the tribulation, and then the tribulation saints who will die for their faith will be resurrected by Christ to go into the millennium. Then after the millennium, the final resurrection of the unsaved that to stand before the great white throne judgment, and their names will not be found written in the book of life, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. So this is the order of the resurrection is this. Christ resurrection started. He's you don't hear much, but when Christ was resurrected, you know, all over Jerusalem, risen saints were walking around there. And I've never studied. Is there much in writing on that? I don't know much about it. But anyway, they walked around. The Bible doesn't say how long they lived or if they died or what, but or they went up with Christ. That's be an interesting study. But he started the resurrection program 2,000 years ago. And then saved will be resurrected at his coming. And the tribulation saints will be raised at the end of the tribulation to enter the millennial kingdom. And the unsaved will be resurrected 1,000 years later to stand before the great white throne judgment. And so I'm glad my name is in the book of life, aren't you? And it's good to be saved. Now, I'm going to be teaching these once a month on Wednesday night. And I'll be using this book. You can go by out here and get this book. This is a hardback, but they have a paperback for about $12. June Silver, years ago, I mentioned this before, she called me and said, "Preacher Lashley, I want to get one of those books." Right? If I didn't, when I'm gone, I want my son to have this book so he'll know what to believe about spiritual things like that. So you need to get this book, and you can get them back here. And I'll be teaching this every first Wednesday night on Rightly Dividing the Word of God. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed. Yes. Those are the resurrections. I'm glad if you're saved, we'll come out when the trumpet sounds. If we go into a grave, we'll be caught up if we're alive. Maybe somebody here tonight, you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I know that I know that my name's written down in heaven." I'm not sure about that, preacher, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know. Is there anyone here tonight? I want to be caught up and go out of here and when Christ comes back. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is anyone, pray for me in this closing word of prayer? Anyone, right quick? Anyone? Father, thank you for this privilege of teaching this Bible lesson on the resurrections and the Word of God. Thank you for the hope we have in Christ. We'll be transformed and resurrected in a body like the glorified body of Jesus when the trumpet sounds. Lord, I pray you'd bless these dear people. Bless Brother Jody and the staff here. Keep us true to you till the trumpet sounds. And Lord, may they get involved in that revival and go up there and get their family revived this week. And God bless what's going on. We thank you for the 500 that's already been saved. And keep your hand on that place, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Take